You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. While you go there, I want to turn to Jeremiah 8:20 and read that one verse. We've come to the ending of a year. Today is the last day. Tomorrow is January 1st. Jeremiah 8:20. If you'd like to look at it. Here it is. Jeremiah wrote in about 600 B.C. That's at the time of the Babylonian captivity of the nation of Israel. And according to Jeremiah's prophecy, they would stay 70 years in captivity. And they did. And God worked out the details for them to be set free to go back to Jerusalem. Verse 20 says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." I feel that way every time we come to the ending of a year. We've gone through another year, we've had the blessings of the Lord and the grace of God. But Jesus has not yet come. The word saved in the Greek means to save, like saving money, or to rescue somebody from drowning, or to preserve. It is used in completing of our salvation. We go home to be with the Lord and our bodies are redeemed. Then and only then are we completely saved. The Hebrew word used in Jeremiah is the word yashah. It means to open wide, to free. Open the gate, so to speak. It means safety and protection. It means to deliver and rescue. God was going to deliver Israel, but that time had not yet come. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. We look to heaven for our rescue that is coming. We, by faith, believe what God has said in His Word, that He's preparing a place for us, and that another year can come and go, and we're still looking for the Lord to come. And that's by faith we are to believe that and to practice that and live in that kind of attitude that we're looking for the Lord to come. So we take a look back in this message today at the things we can learn from our past. And we take a look around at where we are right now, and how God can help us in this day. And then we take a look forward as we think about what we're going to face in the future. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." What will the new year bring? What anticipations do we have? Many of us think, oh, it's just another year because we've already lived through so many of them. I had one of our dear members that's here today. My wife and I ran into him at the steakhouse last week, and he was celebrating his 86th birthday. And I thought, you must be about 70 by now, aren't you? He said, no, 86. He looks good. He's still going good. Still able to drive. That's kind of like the widow woman in the nursing home that got married again, you know. They asked her, well, you know, is he handsome? No. Has he got money? No. Why did you marry him? He can still drive at night. Our bodies change and we have needs. A new year brings many opportunities. The media is constantly telling us that the new year is bringing AI, artificial intelligence. They call it AI, I think. And they talk about it a lot. It's simply, you know, robots and artificial intelligence running things, businesses, and doing away with people's jobs. Politicians have become concerned about it, and so they're creating legislation to control it. I think the politicians are worried that the artificial intelligence will finally bring some intelligence to the Congress and the Senate and might run things better than they can. We know the Bible talks of wisdom. We have knowledge, but we need wisdom to use that knowledge for its most intended good and its best purpose. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the scripture many of you will remember, the scripture speaks of wisdom and how just having knowledge can puff up. And we need the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, I'm in 2 Corinthians. Note all you teachers and preachers, when you find in a scripture and you're about to read it, look at it first and make sure it's the right one before you start reading, you know. Chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We often witness to people, talk to people about the Lord, and I don't have anything to do with that. Church is just all show. They're just about money and all this kind of stuff. People have a lot of reasons that they turn away, but mostly it's because they don't have faith. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it was not education and knowledge and wisdom that caused men to be saved. It was the preaching of the Word of God. It's the gospel message that helps people to be saved. In 1 Corinthians 8, in verse 1, now it's touching things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So the important is love. Learning can puff a person up, make them think they have great knowledge and ability. But James wrote, if we need wisdom, we can ask of God. And wisdom will help us to apply the knowledge that we learn for its best purpose, for its most intended good. God's not pleased with instability. We meet a lot of people that are into all these new teachings all the time. It's called being carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. God wants us to be stable. He wants us to be grounded. He wants us to have faith and to build on the foundation of Christ the things that He has taught us to do. In 2024, I think a very important teaching is that we learn what we believe and why we believe it. That we know if someone asks us a question about God or heaven or salvation, that we know what we believe and we can look it up in the Bible. We know why we believe it because it's in the Word of God. Sadly, we often make mistakes in this life, some that we make over and over. So let us learn from the past mistakes and don't worry over the past. If you're saved, what's happened in your past can be under the blood of Christ and taken away from us, and we don't have to think about it or remember it anymore. If it's bothering you, it's probably the devil that is using that to try to defeat you in your Christian life. God wants you to be forgiven and to move on. And God help us to do that. We learn some valuable lessons in life. We should remember them. I learned a valuable lesson when I was a little kid. We had an old-time refrigerator. And you opened the refrigerator, a light would come on. Had a bulb. And you closed the thing, and I'd watch. I'd go all the way up until it closed until I couldn't see anymore. I couldn't tell if the light went out or not. So I got this bright idea. I unscrewed the bulb, and I stuck my finger in the socket. I got a shocking information there. And I never have done that again. I'm 72 years old now. I've never stuck my finger in another socket. I learned a valuable lesson. And would to God I could learn the lessons of so other, many other mistakes I've made in my life and never do them again. I call it kids sometimes run into a brick wall. In other words, they don't learn from warnings. They don't learn from correction. And they have to run into that brick wall to get to where they listen to what's going on because they have failed and got hurt, caused damage, that kind of thing. And then they become teachable. We learn to obey God, and it's a promise of long life in Proverbs 3. There's the promise of long life to children who obey their parents. There's the promise of long life for those who study the Word of God and apply its teachings to their life. We know God is the authority over us. And He loves us, and He's demonstrated that by giving His Son to die for us. If you get sick sometime, you get hurt sometime, you get in trouble sometime, and you start questioning, you know, where is God? Listen, always remember, God gave His Son to die on the cross for you so you can be saved. Don't question the love of God. God has shown His love for us. He'll help us out of the trouble we're in if we'll just trust Him and believe Him and do what is right. So we have to learn from the past. We have to learn from mistakes we've made and try not to make those things again. People fall prey to many things and go over and over and over again. I live that life as an unsaved man. I smoked cigarettes, I drank alcohol, I tried dope. Not much of it, I didn't like it. I don't like to be out of control. But I would quit drinking, and then the next week I'd start back. I'd quit smoking. About 3 days later, I'd stop at a service station, buy a pack of cigarettes before I even realized what I'd done. You see, you get hooked on these things, and you go ahead and you know it's wrong and you're trying to quit and you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. We see the population, a big percentage of people in jail because they don't obey the rules, they want to live like they please, and they make the same mistakes over and over again. Some people are 15, 20 time repeat offenders that are in jail. One man was caught with taking a saw from a Sears store and walking out the door, and he got caught. They took him to jail, and he was so nice and apologetic, and, you know, I'm not a troublemaker, Your Honor. I really want to, you know, do what's right. I'm sorry I did this. I was just broken. I needed that saw for work. And he said, well, let me look at your record. And he took out one of them old IBM printouts. It rolled off the desk and off the table and off the floor. With all the charges of the past that were against him, he said, son, I got to give you some time. Maybe you'll think about it this time. People make the same mistakes over and over. Poverty is a mistake that many people stay in. They just won't commit themselves to make the changes that need to be made. Now, sometimes people are older and their health is not good and they are in a fixed income and it's hard for them to break out of that cycle. There's no reason younger people can't break out of that. Another thing people make a mess with is gambling. I had a friend at one time that his wife used to come to this church, and they got a divorce. I think he's been divorced again since then, and it was all over gambling. He lost their home. He lost all their savings. He borrowed money he couldn't pay back. He could not pass a service station without going in and buying those scratch-off tickets. I mean $100 worth or $200 worth, and just determined he was going to get rich by gambling. And he never did get rich, my friends. But you know what? One of the worst things that can happen to somebody with a gambling addiction is to win one time. Then they think, I can do this again. And they keep going and they keep going. It's something they repeat over and over and over again. Sexual sins can be the same way. Many people have been married and divorced 5, 6, 7 times because they are unfaithful to the mate that they are married to. They should learn from the past. Secondly, we live the Christian life. We're to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. We are to have these characteristics as a Christian, to live the Christian life. And that means we won't live by the works of the flesh. You look at Galatians chapter 5 and read the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, and you see the horrible contrast between the people that live by the works of the flesh and the people who live by the fruit of the Spirit. We need to find favor with God and with man and have good understanding in the sight of others, that we might be a testimony for Christ and that we might help people find truth. We looked at our text in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Acknowledging the Lord in our everyday life. Whatever we're doing, we're to do to the glory of God. And if we practice that and seek that in our life each day, it'll help us to walk with God. We'll be identified with Christ and the church and make that public to all men. The Word of God each day will help us to stay strong in the faith and to walk with the Lord. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Our path of life, the Word of God is the path for us to follow to light and life. The book of Psalms says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Proverbs 4 and verse 14 through 19. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they, get this is how evil people are. They sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. They're not satisfied to be wicked and evil themselves. They want to corrupt everybody else as well. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. God help us to walk in the path of light and not in the way of wickedness. The Scripture is very clear. If we have a neighbor or a friend that's a terrible, wicked, evil person, we pray for their soul. We'd be a witness to them. But do not allow them to corrupt us. That is the danger that we face in living life, is being corrupted by the associations of others with us. Thirdly, we must not trust in human wisdom, in reasoning, our own reasoning, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. We're to trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. Human reasoning will get you in trouble because of the flesh. Even though we've been saved and have the Spirit of God living within us, we're still in a human body that descended from Adam. The sin he committed in the Garden of Eden, he didn't murder anybody. He didn't rape any women. He wasn't a horrible man in many ways. He simply did one thing. He disobeyed God. So it's important we see the seriousness of sin and that we do not disobey God and we do not lean on our own understanding. You see, mankind's human nature tells him that you can hide sin and nobody will know about it. Adam and Eve sinned and they saw their nakedness and they sewed leaves together to make clothes for themselves to cover their nakedness. It wasn't covered from God. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. People think they can get away with something, but they never get away with it. Secondly, they blame other people for the wrongs they have done. I don't know how many people I have heard, including myself, come out of my own mouth, say, you know, I wouldn't have said that or I wouldn't have done that if that person hadn't done this. And we're trying to blame another person for us doing something wrong, sinning with our mouth. No excuse for sin. We must not lean under our own understanding in this kind of things. We must acknowledge God every day and walk with Him and study His Word. And this will help us to confess our sin and forsake our sin, and that we confess that we have done wrong and God will forgive us. In Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Fourthly, Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor God with our finances. It is God who has given us the ability to make wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 16 through 18. We think I make this money, it's my money, I did all the work, it's my money, I made it. Did you really? I mean, God gave you a brain to learn, He gave you opportunity, and blesses you if you give back to Him. And so God blesses those who give. God promises to the believer to give a portion of his wealth back to God, because it's God who gave it to us in the beginning. We learn how to, God's grace, we learn how to give. And if we give, Malachi says, if we give the 10% back to God, the tithe, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. There won't be enough room to receive. When you give to God, He blesses what you have left. I'd rather have 90% with God's blessing on it than to have 100% without God's blessing on it. Malachi said, if you keep all your money and don't give to God, it's like putting money in a bag with holes in it. It'll just keep leaking out here and there, and you know, you don't even see how you spend it all. Some of you get to the end of the period, week or month, or however you get paid, and you think, how did I spend all that money? You know, well, nowadays with the way the environment is in our country and the socio-economical system, everything's gone up so much, we understand how we're spending more money. But when you give to God, God blesses what you have left. The average church in America has 18 to 33% of the people give all the money and do all the work. The first fruit is to give to God first by faith, and He'll bless what we have left. It'll be sufficient for our needs to be met. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Those who live for the Lord and do what is right will find their needs met. Number five, if you're saved, then you're a child of God and He loves you as a father. And as a father, He will correct you if you get into trouble. God's correction is just. God's correction is merciful. God's correction brings needed change. God's correction shows His parental responsibility to correct us. You know when God corrects you, and when He does, know that it is for your good, for your best. Number six, let us search for wisdom and understanding in the next year. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So blessed and happy go together in the Bible. Wisdom from God is granting us the ability to use our knowledge for the best good and most intended purposes. If we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. And we all need wisdom to make the right choices and the right decisions. You think back in your life and you've had some times you had to really make a decision about something, and maybe you made the right decision or maybe you made the wrong decision. But it's important that we pray and think before we make decisions and ask God for wisdom. We need right wisdom to marry the right person. Do you know how many marriages end in divorce? Almost half of them. Why? Because people didn't have wisdom when they got married to start with, probably. Or they let their life go to pot. We need wisdom with our children. Our children need the direction of a godly, wise parent to help them, to correct them, to point them in the right way, to teach them, to plan our lives. We need to constantly be thinking on the permanent outcome of our decision, not the temporary desire of our decision. If we'll do that, God will help us. Many folks don't use wisdom in their spending. They get deep in debt. They pay high interest rates that they can't pay off. They use credit cards. I've had two or three church members over the years to be as much as $40,000 in debt on a credit card. And there's no way you'll ever pay that off by making the minimum payment. And all these agencies out there will charge you money to take your money and pay off your debt for you to try to keep you from going to jail or losing everything that you have, but you pay them more money. Spending is a disease. Don't owe more than you can pay. Romans 13 says don't owe anybody anything. Don't owe more than you can pay is the emphasis of that. Having peace and being able to sleep at night is worth more than having that new thing that we want. Having discernment and discretion are valuable traits. To sleep without worry is worth a lot. If you want to buy something and you think you can afford it, then put the payment for that in the bank every month for a year before you buy it and see if you can afford it. You may have emergencies come up that you hadn't planned on. And you may need to spend that money for something else. Number 7, many folks' lives are filled with fears. Over and over in the Bible, we find God giving angels a message or the prophets a message to tell God's people, fear not. When you know the Lord, you don't have to be afraid. You don't need to get anxiety and ulcers if you're a Christian. God says, fear not. In Proverbs 3 and verse 25 and 26, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be in thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. God's protection, God's provision. We don't sorrow over things that we face, including death, like those who have no hope. Isaiah 41 makes a comment on not fearing in times of trouble and death and whatever it may be. 41:10 says in Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now that was written to the nation of Israel. But the same truth applies to those who are Christians, who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in this age and when we live. Lives can face many fears, and you know, most fears that people have are about things that never happen. Folks get themselves in all kind of anxiety over something and it's never even happened. They worry. You belong to God. Sleep in peace at night because God's awake and He's taking care of you and watching over you. Teach your children that God has an angel that watches Him for behalf of you children. Let me prove that to you. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew Matthew 18 and verse 10. Talking about little ones. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. There are angels to protect our children and watch over them. And they stand before the face of God to be dispatched for the need, whatever it may be. So teach your kids, they don't have to fear. They just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love God and pray to Him. Number 9, back in Proverbs 3, verse 31 through 33. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Froward means fraudulent or perverse. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. God is good. We don't need to envy the wicked. David was the king. He went up and walked around his roof, and he envied his neighbor's wife, Bathsheba. Because he was a king, he had her come to him, and he committed adultery with her. And 4 deaths in his family resulted as a result of his sin and many other things that he faced as a king. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. The wicked rise up, and their children are under a curse. But if you've been raised up in the home of a wicked family, God can break that curse for you if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Our children are blessed to have godly parents to teach them of the Lord and the Bible and take them to church and set a good example before them. None of us are perfect parents, but as we walk with God, we will make the right decisions to lead in the right way. We declare God's truth to people. Desire that they know the Lord and become a part of the family of God and be in fellowship with us and with the Lord. That's what 1 John chapter 1 is all about. Remember, God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When we rise up in the morning, let us thank God for His Word, for His Son dying for us, for salvation that is free to us by faith. And let us seek to walk with God in the light of His Word. And if we do, we'll have a peace and a contentment that God's on our side. He's going to see that things work out for us. We may face some hardships and difficulties, but we still, God will go through them with us, and He'll help us. And yea, right early. So let's be found in 2024 walking with God in the light. Let's stand together. Father, we ask your blessings on this congregation and assembly. We pray that you'll move upon our hearts to make any decisions we ought to make before we leave this place. And bless your people, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.